This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
We're back. Pastor Joe Larson, once more sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. And that little plug there about donate. Remember, this is a special ministry. Pastor Ernie, in 50 years in the radio, has never taken a single dime in salary for the work. In all the years I was with him, and I guess technically I still get called back in once in a while, never taking any money. No one that's worked with him has ever taken any money. We do this to lay up crowns and treasures in heaven. We do this to glorify God, to please him. And remember, he said our bodies are a living sacrifice. So if our bodies are a living sacrifice, if we donate our time and talent to God, we are sacrificing to him. We are laying up crowns and treasures in heaven. And that's why I'm here doing, I may not be the greatest radio host that's ever been, but I'm here because the Lord called me. And he said, if you answer my call, I will equip you. So I believe he has, to the best of my ability. So we do need donations because we don't take salaries. We don't have sponsors. We don't have advertisers. They tend to get a little excited over some of the stuff we talk about in this program and say. And so we rely on you, the listener, and we ask you to prayerfully consider supporting this radio ministry, keeping it alive. And hopefully we offer you things that are valuable enough that you will want to keep us on the air. So I'm here with Styles Behind the Dial, and he is helping me through tonight. I was looking for some good news stories, Style.
Yeah?
I found one. Merry Christmas, taxpayers. The Education Secretary, Linda McMahon, announced that she found $1 billion in student aid fraud. Fraudsters have made the naughty list this year. Because of the Trump administration's investigations, we unwrapped over $1 billion in student aid fraud. Merry Christmas, taxpayers. She went on to say that citizens have to present an ID to purchase a ticket to travel, to rent a car. You have to show your ID to get into movie theaters, all kinds of different shows and bands and things like that. It's only right that they should have to have an ID to access tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars to fund an education. Apparently, people were filling out and getting taxpayer dollars for student aid. Didn't exist. All kinds of weird stuff, folks. So you've been saved about $1 million in next year's spending because of Linda McMahon, Education Secretary. Now, there's a good news, bad news joke style or story. I call it a joke because sometimes I swear Congress is nothing but a joke. Do you find that hard to believe?
From what I've seen, no, I don't find it hard to believe that Congress is a joke.
Oh, okay. I just thought maybe I was getting a little carried away there. You know, I told you got to kind of watch over me here. Anyway, the story is, and I got this from World News Daily, spiraling health care costs, Senate declines to act to defuse Democrats' looming Obamacare crisis. Yep, the Senate today declined to defuse this crisis. You see, way back, the problem was Democrats were in control of the government. They created a special Obama health care premium subsidies Remember Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act? See, that was a lie. It wasn't affordable. Prices immediately went up. The amount you had to pay before you could use it,
your premium,
yeah, that you paid up front. Some cases went up to $2,500 before you could even use the insurance. Anyway, it was an outright lie, and it has increased sometimes up to 6% more or more. And that was what the big government shutdown was over, folks. They wanted Congress to approve a whole pile of your money to provide subsidies because the prices have skyrocketed under Obamacare because there's no competition. Anything the government does costs you way more money than if it's done in the private sector. That's just living proof. We've seen it everywhere. Look at the private schools. They produce better outcomes, brighter students, better grades, and way less money than the public school system. We've got graduates going to college who can't read a whole book, that have to have remedial math, remedial reading, all kinds of things. But they love homeschoolers. Yeah, because they don't have to give them remedial courses. Now, so this came up. They were this big battle here. So the Dems failed to convince people to adopt their plan to spend more billions and billions of dollars on subsidies for 3 more years. Now, the bad thing is the Senate, the Republicans put out some plans to start having some new health savings accounts. Got rejected. Health savings account. They personalized, put you in charge of your own health account, decide what to do. They would set up where you could buy your own insurance. You could pick and choose what you want. So I wouldn't have to, you wouldn't have to go out and get insurance or a maternity care. You know, I don't know if you're married or not, but can you imagine buying insurance that has all kinds of feminine health things and, you know, giving you big benefits for maternity care?
Right.
You don't need it. You know, young people need less. Old people need different things. That's why the idea was to, let the free market. Every time we've trusted in the free market, look at the stock market. Look at if you put money in the stock market, where you would be today versus what you put into Social Security. All you retirees in Social Security, if the money they took for your Social Security had been put into one, could have bought a insurance plan for disability insurance, and the rest of the money went into investments in a stock market in a one of those broad accounts, you would have 10, 20 times the money you're getting in Social Security. But no, we couldn't do that. We had to have this government plan. And of course, Social Security is going broke because there are fewer and fewer people to pay for those that are retiring, and it's a mess. We should learn every time we trusted the free market, we're winners. When we trusted government, we're losers. So there's still more Republican alternatives, but they're still awaiting a vote. You see, well, let's put it this way. The demon rats are treating Obamacare like a sacred cow. Oh, we made it. We did it. And they don't really have any interest in finding a new or better solution. They just don't. They want Obamacare or nothing. They draw a line in the sand. And whether it's good for you, bad for you, they don't waver. They don't change because it's about power. And if the government controls healthcare, the government has power because healthcare is 1/6 or more of the entire economy of the United States of America. If they control healthcare, they control a big part of the country. That's why I said this was a good news, a bad news type of.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Joe, most people don't think about it that way. A lot of people complain about healthcare, complain about the cost of insurance, and they're solution is much the same as we saw under Obama's. They just want free stuff. And we look at somewhere like Canada, who supposedly has free health care, but it's the bare minimum worst health care that you can get on the market, according to Canadians. And you're absolutely right. So I just got married this past year in August, and I, up until that point, so it's a little history here, I am 25 now. Up until the point where I was 25, did not have health care in general. From 17 to 25, I didn't have any form of health care because I never had a job that supplied health care. I couldn't afford health care from any of the subsidized plans that were on the market. And to me, I never enrolled in any kind of government health care because, in my mind, number one, you shouldn't want to be on Medicare, Medicaid, a government health plan. And number two, in my mind, that there's people that genuinely needed that government aid. And I was 17, 18, 19, 20. I didn't think I did. I just wouldn't get sick, wouldn't get hurt, or if I did, I wouldn't go see a doctor. And it took me up until this past year until I, number one, sliced into my hand with a sawzall and had to go to the ER. So that was a fun trip. And then 2 months later, ended up having kidney stones and ended up back in the ER. And it took me both of those experiences to break down and realize with myself. And I had a talk with a few friends that had to convince me that I'm paying into this system. I've been paying into this system since I was 18, 16, really. I've been paying into this healthcare system that other people are abusing. I should be able to use it for getting health care. And I went on Medicaid for, I think, 6 or 7 months, and it was unfortunate. And I don't want to be on Medicaid, but I just was able to get off it through marriage. You're exactly right. What we need is not government-funded health care. We don't need them setting up a plan or them giving us the bare minimum. We need an open market that, like you said, allows us to pick and choose. We went through cable. Cable allowed us to pick and choose what channels we got eventually. Why can't we do the same with healthcare? It's because the people at the top don't make enough money that way.
Yeah, exactly. You get the graft of corruption. But it's simple. Young people need a plan that covers catastrophic things that happen to them. And they should, you know, annual checkups or vaccines or anything, if something, you know, minor, they should cover, but have catastrophic coverage. And, you know, coverage can be made to fit what you have. There's also that Christian Medishare out there where they share each other's health costs. And it's cheaper than any insurance out there. And everyone that's on it swears by it. And nobody's ever not had their bills paid. But it only covers the catastrophic. It doesn't cover an annual visit, you know, things like that. But it covers, you know, real important things that happen to a person. So, yeah, free market works. Now, the story, you mentioned Canada. Glenn Beck has a story out there. He's upset about Canada. He found a woman who was forced to sign up for assisted suicide. This lady, her name is Jolene Van Alstyne. She is the resident of Saskatchewan. And she suffers from a rare but treatable illness. And I'm not going to try and even pronounce it. It's three words long and blah. It causes her to experience extreme bone pain, nausea, vomiting. And it can be fixed through surgery. But she was not able to schedule the operation under Canada's government-run health care. Right. There were no doctors available. She would need to travel out of Saskatchewan for the surgery, but before she could do that, she had to need a referral from an endocrinologist. However, there weren't any endocrinologists accepting new patients, so she couldn't even get a referral to travel outside Saskatchewan to get the surgery. Now, the pain had become so unbearable, she applied for assisted suicide, and her appointment is scheduled for January 7th next year. Now, this program is Medical Assistance in Dying, or MAID, Medical Assistance in Dying, and there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of Canadians because they have to wait so long for a surgery, wait so long for treatment, or nothing's available. They push this MAID program on them, and they choose it. She commented on her experience, saying, My friends have stopped visiting me. I'm isolated. I've been lying alone on my couch for 8 years, sick, curled up in a ball, pushing for the day to end. And Glenn Beck said, if there's a surgeon in America who can do this, I'll pay for the patient to come here. And he said, this is the reality of compassionate, progressive health care. Canada must end this insanity, and Americans can never let it spread here. Never let it spread here. I thought I'd repeat that. Anyway, she got some people to go to bat for, and there's a surgeon now. She's been put in contact with Beck, who's got a surgeon who agreed to do the operation for her. That's one of the good news, but it took national attention to push. And I guess they said to get special permission for her because Canada looks so bad, they kind of gave permission so that she can come here and get surgery. I thought that's a pretty sad story. But Ernie and I have done stories in the past about the healthcare in Britain, about people waiting 6 months, 9 months to see a specialist or a surgeon about something, many of them dying before they got in. Remember when Biden messed with the VA program, and a lot of the veterans that needed the health care had to wait and wait and wait, and we had many of them dying before they could get health care?
Oh, yeah.
When the government runs something, folks, I don't know why people can't seem to learn this. They messed it up. It's corrupted. It's inefficient. It has to go through a bunch of bureaucrats. Everybody has to check their little box, their little approval. I remember a story way back, I did this years ago, like maybe 20 plus years ago, maybe even longer, folks. There was a leak in a subway system in New York. And this engineer came in, took a look at the situation, and said, this has to be done immediately. And for about $50,000, I can have a crew here in so many hours, and we can fix it. Well, the bureaucrats got busy, started evaluating, had to have other looks at it. They wanted to have different bids, blah, blah, blah. Weeks later, the little leak sprung, and this whole portion was flooded. Turned into a giant mess, ended up costing many, many, many millions of dollars. I can't remember what it was, whether it was 5 or 20, but it was millions of dollars when it could have been fixed for $50,000. But the bureaucracy can't work, can't think, can't function like that. They couldn't just say, $50,000 is a small leak, fix it. Nobody wanted to take the risk of, we spent money for nothing, or it didn't work. Well, even if the $50,000 didn't work, it's a drop in the bucket compared to the millions it took to fix the problem when it sprung a big, big leak. I've done stories, many stories like that over the years, but that one always goes back to mind. $50,000 in a day's work and it's fixed.
Well, Joe,
you can do.
Going back to the medical discussion real quick, too, you just made me think of this. Here's a story, or I guess a rhetoric with a good, bad, and worse news in regards to the U.S. versus Canadian approach to healthcare and government healthcare and subsidizing it for citizens. We laid out perfectly why you shouldn't put the government in control of rolling out healthcare. Canada's a perfect example. In Canada, you say, hey, I have X, Y, and Z, and my quality of life has certainly declined. Can we fix it? And Canada says, well, it's actually more cost-effective for us if you died. That's the Canadian way of doing it. The good news is I can't see America ever doing that. The worst news, we do something that's almost worse because we're not concerned about saving money. We're concerned about making money. So what does America do? We partner with pharmaceutical industries. You go to a hospital in America and say, I have X, Y, and Z, and my quality of life has really declined. And they'll say, hey, one of the things you mentioned aligns with one of the things that this pill says it'll fix. Why don't you take two of these a day and call me in the morning?
Yeah, well, the other thing is the money is in medications that control the symptoms, not cure the disease.
100%.
Everybody is trying to make money, so they try and find things that people have to take for the rest of their life to maintain their quality of life, which keeps the money rolling in. They don't make any money on a cure that stops something. They would make some, but not near as much as something that someone has to take for the rest of their life.
Right.
So, you know, capitalism isn't perfect, but it's better than the alternative by far.
Oh, absolutely. And I just think that's a discussion we have to make sure we have, because there is a serious issue, and that's where we, the citizens, have to make sure our voice is heard.
Well, that's the trouble. We have too many citizens who forget that this is their government. We are the sovereigns. Government isn't in control of us. We're the sovereigns. We control the government, and we lost that. We gave it up. I don't know. You're not old enough. There was something way back when it was a phrase came up like, oh, let George do it. Government, let George do it. And the idea, no, I have a responsibility as a citizen. Remember, we were told our duty is we are to govern ourselves. This is James Madison. We are to govern ourselves, control ourselves, sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. And that way we have a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We have our freedom. We are the sovereigns. And somewhere along the line, everybody said, you know, government, we're dependent upon government. Because what? Well, the founders told us government would grow if we weren't careful. You know, things tend to want to survive, get bigger and bigger if they're to survive. And people find out, well, look at, what's her name? It's running for, going to run for senator in Texas. See her face. She was up there on TV. Congresswoman. Oh, I'm having a senior moment. Anyway, she's a screaming liberal. And she's only been there a short time, and already she's a multimillionaire. Same thing with several of these new radical females in Congress. They've been there a term or less or two, and all of a sudden they're worth $10 million, $15, $20, $30 million. How on $186,000 salary do you get to be a multimillionaire in 2 to 4 years? Do you have any idea, Kyle?
Certainly not legally.
Oh, how dare you tell the truth? You don't think they did that? Well, legally, or at least not morally, there are rules. They're not supposed to use information they gain on committees. Looks kind of like insider trading. Yeah, we know it goes on in Washington. There are laws against it, but they can't get enough votes to stop insider trading because everybody is making so much money on the insider trading. It's kind of like they get to vote their own salary increases. You know, we've got a few faults with our government, and we need a few brave people like Trump that goes there and he's willing to do something, you know, America first, not congressman first, senator first, but America first. And if we get a few more people like that running for office and getting elected, if we start paying attention to who we're electing and why we're electing them, that would be one of the best Christmas presents. Oh, speaking of Christmas, did you hear about Santa's husband?
I'm sorry, what?
Santa's husband. Oh, yes. And a lawmaker in North Carolina has been accused the school district of deliberately and openly violating the parental rights law adopted in the state of North Carolina. So this school, the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School, was summoned by lawmakers. They had a few questions. They were violating some of the laws about dealing dealing with classroom instructor on gender identity, parent notifications, things like this. And they came out and they had a book that they were promoting. And they said, they called out the school district, "You are here today because you chose to wage war against the law. You chose to deceive the public, and now you're here because you got caught." Jones, this Brenda Jones is a Republican congresswoman, and or congressman, I'm sorry, held up a book and said, "Includes Santa's Husband, the true story of Mr. and Mrs. Claus, featuring a black Santa and his white husband." Also on the book, title, "These Are My Eyes, This Is My Nose, This Is My Vulva, and These Are My Toes," including the passage saying, "Some boys have a penis, but not all boys do." At one point, some of the disputed books, apparently the Congressman Joe's gotten mad enough and threw the books on the floor in front of these people and told them how they were being charged, violating the Parents' Bill of Rights, Senate Bill 49, which bars instruction on sexual orientation, gender identity, blah, 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 requires notification to parents, all this. They're still trying to pull this. And then there was one other we brought up. "It isn't rude to be a nude." And another rated suitable for very young children. That's what it said, but it features cartoon drawings of noon adults. Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of soft porn in cartoon form. So it's not really porn if it's a cartoon, right?
That's some logic. I'm not going to say it's good logic, but it is something.
It's the kind of logic that evil uses. People, we've been telling you for years here on this program, you know, some of these, especially you live in the red cities, their schools are failing. Get your children out of the public school system. Get them out, get them out, get them out. And stories like this, we have many, many come up, many happen. I don't know. It's an ongoing battle. One of the big things in the news has been Islam is back in the news again. The protests, the people protesting Israel over the battle with Hamas, which is radical Islam. And you see what's happening with the Somalis in Minnesota, how they were stealing money through NGOs that were supposed to be helping the people, and they used it to help wage war in Somalia and buy guns and get people killed. And, you know, they keep talking about people coming to assimilate. Well, Islam, I want to tell people, never does assimilate. It is against the religion, radical Islam, to not assimilate into another culture. Period. Yeah. So much has been said, but never comes up. The news doesn't report things, doesn't repeat things. And before I do this story, I want to read a couple things that Bill Federer wrote in his great book, "What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran." The word Islam means submission, specifically submission to the will of Allah. A Muslim is someone who has submitted his will to Allah. Muhammad divided the world into two houses, the house of Islam, Dar al-Islam, the house of war, Dar al-Harb. A Muslim sees the world then in two halves. One half is Muslim, the other half is in the process of becoming a Muslim. They are at war with all the world's religions until they turn to Islam. Now, a moderate Muslim. A lax or moderate Muslim thinks Islam will conquer the world in the distant future. Therefore, it's acceptable to get along with non-Muslims in the present. A violent Muslim thinks Islam will conquer the world now and wants to make it happen sooner than later. violent Muslims, but just as soon kill moderate Muslims, considering them backslidden from obeying the commands of Muhammad. Most moderates or lax Muslims are hesitant to speak out against the violent ones, as every now and then when one does speak out, the violent ones threaten, intimidate, or put a fatwa on them and kill them. We've seen this in the past in other countries. So in a sense, there's three groups of Muslims, the violent ones, the ones who are afraid of the violent ones, and the dead ones who weren't afraid of the violent ones. You know, diplomacy in Islam involves the concept of al-taqiyya, which literally means to conceal or disguise one's beliefs, convictions, ideas, feelings, opinions, or intentions or strategies, thus preventing or guarding against your enemy. So, we're ready for a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the story of a young girl who was treated very badly by Islam. Time for a break. We'll be right back after this.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with Lord, at thy birth.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful music. This is Pastor Joe Larson. This is What's Right, What's Left, Radio Ministry. We are the voice of the Christian resistance, and I'm filling in for the one and only Pastor Ernie Sanders. He's going to have surgery tomorrow, and I would repeat, please keep him in prayer, having some eye surgery to restore eyesight in one of his eyes. Style, you said we had a caller. I was going to go on, but let's take the caller.
Yeah, we have Cliff in New York joining us.
Hi, Cliff.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Yeah, I have a question, but for supplements for the winter, I just was listening about beta-glucan, B-E-T-A, and then G-L-U-C-A-N, as a good immunity booster. But if you look on Google Scholar, there's a numerous study saying it's anti-cancer. Looks like it's in a, $15 to $25 price range on Amazon. So I have two possible questions for Joe. You could pick one. I just wanted to catch your thoughts, being that this is the week with the Pearl Harbor anniversary, as to what precipitated that. You hear that we cut off some of the oil supplies to Japan, and they were mad about that. And then the other question I had was Revelation chapter 6. I was looking at that again, and it talks about people that were martyred, and they were asking the Lord for revenge for their murders. And then all of a sudden you see people, including rich people, trying to escape the wrath of the Lord and hiding under rocks. I don't know if the two were correlated, but do you have any thoughts on either of those two questions or one of them?
I was looking at Revelation 6, and what verse are they talking about? Because he's talking about the seals and the horses.
Right. Towards the latter part of that chapter, they're talking about asking the people that were murdered or asking.
Oh, yeah, I see what you are. And the kings on earth and the great men, the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne from the wrath of the Lamb. It's talking about, for the great day of his wrath shall come. Just a warning to all these sinners, all these people who think they're somebody. God's wrath is going to come. He's our vengeance for us. We're not to have vengeance ourselves. God will take care of it for us. We're to leave it to him for vengeance.
Yeah, and just before that, it's talking about the people that were murdered asking in the next life for the vengeance. So
this should be fulfilled. Oh, Lord, how long dost thou, in verse 10 there, Revelation 6, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell upon the earth? Yeah, they can cry out because Jesus, the Lord said, vengeance is mine. And you can ask the Lord, how long is it going to be before the wicked ones receive their judgment? And then he goes on to tell them what will happen. It will come. It will come in his time, and vengeance will be secured.
Yeah.
It's very plain that the ones in heaven realized what had happened and are just asking God, when will this that he promised take place?
Yeah, so don't try and make money on killing people, I guess, would be one of the things. Like, you brought up that story about this assisted suicide plan for this woman in Canada. That might be avenged,
That's murder, when they don't want to spend money, when incompetence, and basically it's cheaper to kill people than it is to fix them, and they are, in a way, it's murder by suicide.
Well, what I got
to use that kind of thing.
Also, Romans chapter 9, where Paul is saying he was an Israelite. He's starting off chapter 9, and then he's saying that he's saying about the idea that the Lord loved Jacob and hated Eshur, which seems to be saying that there's no birthright, really, for anybody, for the Abrahamic covenant. Would you interpret it that way? It's a spare.
No, I'd have to attach right now. I'd have to take a look at that.
Brain just isn't.
My brain isn't there right now. You threw too many things out there. Yeah, history.
They thought something.
Nobody's paying any attention. I'm sorry. You brought up something. That's the kind of thing we have to be remembering. What happened? How things can change. How stupidity allowed Pearl Harbor to happen. And that's one of the stories we didn't get to, but probably should have. It was an important event that we need to tell our children, grandchildren about.
Yeah.
But we need to go on. I want to finish one
story. Thanks.
Did you come up with any ideas for the Chrismon tree?
I had two questions about the Chrismon tree, Joe.
Okay, what were they?
All right, well, I wanted to know, since you're the expert, I want to know if there's a preference or a biblical reason for one or the other on colored versus white lights.
Versus white light?
Colored lights on it or white lights on it?
The light of the world, I guess. Color adds, we've got a traditional Christmas light, you know, the red, green, blue primary colors. Ours are actually, I have actually white light, but I don't think it would be bad or anything. But the idea is still the light of the world. The rainbow is color. That's one of the things in the Bible that God made the rainbow. You could actually make a rainbow and hang as a symbol.
That's a good point.
Right? So if you had a rainbow symbol as the Christmas ornament, you could have some colored lights. Would be how I'd answer that.
That's a good point.
Good question.
My other one I had thought of is, we heard the breakdown and the reasoning why for the star on the top of the tree. Is there one, or is there an argument against an angel at the top of the tree?
I always put a star. Angel looking down, Christ is the angel of the Lord. So. The trouble is, a lot of angels are not very biblical, that we
have
pictures of or visions. If you read what some of the angels look like, they could take human form, but some of the other angels were pretty intimidating characters. They were not little babies, chubby little babies with wings.
Now that you mention it, though, I would like to go somewhere and see a biblically accurate angel on top of a tree. Be quite the sight.
I have one. If you read and study, take a look at the angels in scripture, and it'd be hard to do one. So
right.
I would think it'd be better to put the angels on the tree as a decoration and have the star above. After all, he was the star that led, and the bright and morning star. I think it's best to have the star.
That's a good point. Those are just the two that I'd thought of.
Yeah, good questions. And, if anybody else has something, maybe they've come up with another idea for a ornament on a Chrismon. I wanted to finish this one story on Islam because we're having so much trouble with it here in America. Over in Germany, they're having a court case, and it's a trial where the victim's now 20 years old, is giving her testimony to this high court in Munich. And she broke down in tears. She was 12 years old when she was sold as a sex slave. How ISIS fighters sneered and were screaming, "Buy her, she hasn't been raped yet." "I was bought and sold by six men," she told the court. She said, I can't even look at them. And this Iraqi couple, alleged to have been members of Islamic State, are accused of buying, exploiting, and abusing two of these Yazidi girls as slaves. The man, she said, her testimony was this: the man decided to buy her. He moved her veil, looked at her, smelled her, played with her hair. Before he bought me, he looked at me, he and his ISIS friends, and mocked me, saying, "Buy her, she hasn't been raped yet." He was 12 years old, just 12. And I'm looking at some of this going on. She was talking about, told them how she wished she had dead. The defendant told her, "Either I rape you or I beat you like this if you do not submit." And it went on. And during the rapes, he would play music described by the victim as ISIS, violent, I go to war. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. We have to be careful. We've let people into this country that do not want to assimilate. In fact, when in the Muslim world, if they can't conquer by force, the next thing they do is they try and conquest by coming in and taking over, coming in as immigrant. They come in as immigrants. They start building a community. They build a big community. They take over a small city. They keep strengthening. And eventually the goal is that they can't take over by force. They take over by population. And they don't assimilate at all ever into the country that they're in until they're strong enough to take over politically or militarily. The will of Allah says the world must bow and worship Allah, the whole world. And everything a Muslim does is for that end, that someday the entire world will be Muslim and worship Allah. So they are not going to assimilate. Certain sects of Islam will never assimilate. And their goal is conquest by immigration. And we continue to believe that the impossible will happen, that these people are going to become wonderful, productive citizens. I don't believe it, according to the words in their Quran and according to some of the other writings in Islam. What's the old expression? Ain't going to happen, G.I. America, beware. You've been warned. But you listen to all the publicity out there and you won't hear very many warnings because people are afraid to speak the truth. It's about almost time for an invitation. We've got about what?
We got about 7 minutes.
7 minutes? Okay, I've got time for one more quick story and then I'm going to do an invitation. The story I picked out was there was a female pastor, which is an oxymoron because females, according to the word of God, cannot be a pastor. And she's a rainbow-clad pastor, claimed to be, compares ICE supporters to Judas. She said that there were those who were not standing actively against the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, we're no different than Judas. If you're not against him, you're like Judah. This Reverend Liv Thomas is the director of a real weird group at the Tulane University. Now, two things. One, God made it clear that only men are to be pastors. Two, the word reverend is used once in Scripture, only once, and it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Joe. I am not the Reverend Joseph R. Larson. Reverend is a term for God himself. I will never use it. Pastor Ernie will never use it. And none of the pastors in the unregistered church will ever use the title of Reverend. Let me throw that on. Anyway, she went on to compare everybody else to Judas. And before Christ was hung on the cross and executed, he was kidnapped before he was surveilled, before he crossed some borders. He wasn't supposed to, and he was turned in to the authorities by a friend, by Judas, for 30 pieces of silver. And you counsel people by not standing against ICE. You're like Judas. And for what are you being paid 30 pieces of silver? There are so many things wrong with that story, so many things wrong with our world. And we need to call people like this out. She's not a pastor. She's a radical. She's bought the Kool-Aid. She is a Marxist. She's a Marxist, a extreme liberal. And in a way, she has to be anti-Christ because she's violating two things in Scripture, you know, where God says women cannot be pastors. So by claiming to be one, right there, you're kind of saying she's not an obedient Christian, and I'll bet she doesn't believe in two or more of the five basic tenets of the faith. So be careful who you listen to, warn others, and especially in this Christmas season, we are to what? Reprove and rebuke and go out and exhort. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the problem is not enough people out there are willing to stand up and rebuke. And if that doesn't work, or reprove, and if that gentle reprove doesn't work, we are to strongly rebuke. It takes courage. It takes faith. And if we want to save a country, it's going to take what? Courage and faith. Now, before we close, we always close with a message, with an invitation, because God has given us all free will. But the biggest decision that you make with that free will is where you will spend eternity. There's only two choices according to God's own word. That's in heaven or hell. He didn't have a middle ground. He doesn't have a place for fence sitters. It's one or the other. There are basic things God wants you to know that's going to change your life. One is there's only one way to heaven, not through a, quote, religion. Christianity is really a personal relationship. It's not really a true religion by the book. It's a personal relationship with God himself. And I'll explain it more in a minute. So philosophy, good works, good living, you know, none of that's going to get you to heaven. You can't spend your way, donate enough money. John says in John 1:12-13, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We were born twice. He gave us physical birth, and he gives us a spiritual rebirth, our second birth. And John 3:3, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are a sinner. Because we have free will and choice, we will choose unrighteousness. We will choose evil. We will do things that are not pleasing to God. And he said, simply, there is no one righteous, no, not one. Romans 5:12, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and by death, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. God is a holy, perfect God, and he requires punishment for sin. And unfortunately, it's real simple. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but God has offered us eternal life. Romans 6:23 said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we get it? Romans tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed, and who shall ever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get saved tonight. Call upon the Father. For now, we're saying thank you for listening. Good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
At Hardee's, every Tuesday is now Tender Bender Tuesday. Right now, download the Hardee's app and join my rewards. Buy 3 hand-breaded chicken tenders, get 3 free. It's Tender Bender BOGO. Every Tuesday now through June 2026. This Tuesday, get 3 tenders, free. Next Tuesday, get them free. The Tuesday after that, you guessed it, free. Buy 3 tenders, get 3 free. Another great benefit for my rewards members. Only at Hardee's. Registration and app required. Available for limited time at participating restaurants. See app for terms.